verses 1 through 9. Joshua chapter 1 and verses 1 through 9. And the title of my text today is Confronting Your Fears. Confronting Your Fears. Are there things that you worry about? Are there things that cause you great fear and you're wondering? I know in this current economic climate that there are a lot of people that are wondering if they're going to have a job or not. There are students on this campus that will be graduating this semester, and they're wondering if there will be a job available for them after receiving their degree. With the current climate, there's over 4 million layoffs the past month. And so there's a lot of fear in our society now, because there is, and whenever there's uncertainty, then it's a natural human nature to be fearful. But what I want to speak to you about, as children of God, we should not be fearful of the circumstances, because we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Because our trust is in the Word of God. And Jesus has promised that He will do what He said He would do. He said, "My word will not return void, but it will accomplish the task wherein it was sent." So there's nothing in the Bible or in the Word of God or the promises of God that is limited, because whatever Jesus said He will do, He will do. And we can take, we can trust in that and hope in that. But those that have no faith may have a cause to be fearful, may have a cause to worry. But we know that God has promised to take care of His people, and we can trust in that. We don't look at the circumstances, but we look at the Word of God. And I'm going to share with you some of that this morning. First of all, from Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1 through 9. Bear with me, quite a few verses here. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this children, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Now listen to the promises of God. The same promises that God gave to Joshua and the children of Israel are true for us today, because God has no respect of persons. And he goes on to say, "Be strong and of a good courage," and so, in other words, be fearless. Be fearless. "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous." Have you ever wondered what the key to prosperity is? Here it is. Because then he says, "For I shall make thy way prosperous." Now, some people just measure prosperity by how much money they have in the bank. But with God, prosperity is so much more. It's the whole person. He said, "Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So having God's Word, abiding in God's Word, obedience to God's Word, meditating upon God's Word, living our life according to the principles of God's Word is the key to success and the key to prosperity. And he goes on to say, but thou meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So that's the bottom line to it all. For us to realize that God, the Lord thy God, shall be with thee. Look over at your neighbor and tell your neighbor this morning, say, hey, Jesus is with me. And that's all that matters. I can make it because my God is with me. Amen. So, a lot of people give in to the fears. They ask this question, what if blank happens? You fill in the blank. How many times ever, there's some people that are just what we call worry warps. What if I don't pass this test? What if I can't pay this bill? What if the roof begins to leak? There's so many chicken littles. What if the sky falls, right? What if? But 90% of what we worry about never transpires. It never comes about. What if? So we give in to our fears, and we're constantly, rather than walking by faith, as God in His Word has commissioned to us, because He said, the just shall live by faith. And what is faith? The faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we walk by faith, not by sight. The just shall live by faith. And we don't look at our circumstances, but so often people are so focused, even the children of God, are so focused on their circumstances that they lose faith. Peter, as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, remember when he stepped out of the boat and he walked on the water to meet Jesus, when Jesus came walking to the boat on the water? You remember that story in the Bible? And as long as Peter was looking at Jesus, he was okay. But whenever he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. And even when he took his eyes off of Jesus, Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed him and kept him from drowning. Thank God. Even in our doubt sometimes, like one of the people that came to Jesus said, Lord, thou knowest that I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. And that's sometimes how we are, isn't it? But Jesus is with us. But we got to keep our eyes upon Him. And we can walk on water. Maybe not literally, but spiritually, in our life, we can walk above our storms and the chaos and the complexity, the turmoil, the trials, and the heartache and the confusion of this world when we keep our eyes upon God in His Word. So how do we confront our fears? How do we do this? How do we confront them? It begins by having a genuine encounter with God. I've told you so many times that I just realized the other day, this coming May, I will have been ministering the gospel full time for 25 years. I'll be celebrating 25 years of marriage and 25 years of ministry this coming May. And I have seen a lot through those years. I've seen a lot of pretenders, and I've seen a lot of real. There's three types of people that come to church usually every Sunday. Do you know that? There are believers, and there's non-believers, and there's make-believers. But I'm sure this morning, all we we have this morning is believers, right? But there are believers, non-believers, and make-believers. But a genuine encounter with God, someone who has called upon the Lord and He has transformed your life and filled you with His Spirit, then that's something that the world or no one else can take away from you when you've had an encounter with God. So in order to conquer our fears, it begins with a genuine encounter with God. There's so many churches of today that are so focused on going through the rituals and so focused on the formality of religion that they do not allow the people to have a genuine encounter with God. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you always hear from Acts and Christ Ministries when you come here, if we don't touch God, if we don't have that encounter with God, then we have failed. Because Jesus said that He was seeking people that would worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so in order to worship Him in spirit and in truth, then that means His presence is near to us, right? Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13 says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." You know what most people are most afraid of, it seems today? They are most afraid of having a genuine encounter with God. They're so afraid. They say, well, them people are a little bit strange. Because they lift their hands and they praise God. Or they get excited. And I like when Cyprian was baptized not long ago. And I don't think he'd ever had an experience like that. And he said, afterwards, he said, I feel numb all over or something. How was he described it when he came? Like electricity running through me. I think it was Otis or somebody said, hey, that's the Holy Ghost moving on you. That's the Spirit of God. That's an encounter with God. It may not be like electricity that runs through you, but God will move upon every one of us. And our God is alive and He's real.
Amen.
The children of Israel, when they were brought into the wilderness, what they were most afraid of above everything else, they weren't afraid of the Egyptians so much. They were not afraid of going back into bondage several times. They begged Moses to let them go back into Egypt. Why are we as children of God afraid to soar like eagles? Why are we afraid to be different from the world? Why? The children of Israel at Mount Sinai. The smoke of the mountain, God called smoke of the mountain and fire, and there was like thunder and lightning. God was ready to speak to each of them. Every one of them. But what did they do? What did they say? They said, Moses, please don't let God speak to us. Don't let Him speak to us, because if God speaks to us, we will surely die. They were terrified to have an encounter with God. They were terrified of the presence of God. We should reverence and we should fear God. True, God is a consuming fire. He is the sovereign judge of the universe, of course. But we must realize that He loves you with an everlasting love. And He wants what's best for your life. He's not going to give you anything that's bad for you. Every good gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. All the promises of God are yea and amen. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you good things. But if we are to conquer our fears and not worry about tomorrow and know that we are secure, we must have an encounter with God. We must have. It's not about religion. So many people are caught up in religion, religious rituals. It's about relationship. You and I need a relationship with Jesus Christ. If there were no church to go to, if there were no people that wanted to pray with me, nobody that wanted to worship with me, guess what? I would still serve God because I had an encounter with Him. I can go into my prayer closet at home and I can have church. Why? Because I know what it took to change my life. I've had an encounter with His presence. In His presence is fullness of joy. And if you're just stooped in religious ritual and playing church games, you're settling for so little. God has so much more for you. He wants you to be full to overflowing, like rivers of living water, is what Jesus said. Out of your belly, the presence of God. He was referring to God's presence. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. There's so much that He has for you. Why do we want to live like turkeys when we can soar like eagles? Somebody told me one time, they said, it's hard to soar like an eagle when you hang around a bunch of turkeys. I hope this morning there's people that's ready to soar in God. Conquer your fears. And how we're going to begin that is with an encounter with God. That you purpose in your mind this morning, I'm not going to leave this auditorium until I have touched God. And God has touched me. Amen. I want to get in touch with God.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Jesus said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He's ready to listen and hear before the call of answer. While they're yet speaking, I will hear them. Confronting your fears. So many people, the greatest fear is an encounter or a relationship with God. When that's the best thing in the world that could ever happen to them. Second thing, to confront our fears, we need to receive a fresh baptism of love. A fresh baptism of love. Romans chapter 5, and I believe verse 5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad within our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. John chapter 14 and verse 23 says, Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Jesus said so many times, these things I command you, that you love one another. Yeah. But probably everyone here this morning, at some point in your life, you've had your heart broken, your spirit broken. You've been betrayed by friends. And what does it do? It causes you to build a wall around yourself and say, I'm never going to love that deep again. I'm not going to trust people again. I'm not going to let people in close to me again. You've got that force field around yourself. The church of Ephesus did the very same thing. Paul had warned them to watch them that were deceivers and those that were hypocrites and those that were out for no good for themselves with selfish gain or whatever. And then in Revelation, the second chapter, Jesus, speaking through John the Revelator, He commends the church of Ephesus, first of all. He said, you have recognized them that are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. And he said, you have not denied my name. In other words, you've held to the word of God. You know truth, and you recognize when people are just playing games and just being hypocritical. You haven't been deceived by false religions and distorted gospels and things, and you've held to the true gospel. But then he goes on to say to the church of Ephesus, he said, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. Your first love. When we first came to Jesus, we fell in love with Him. And His love shed abroad within our heart, and a lot of times through the trials and tests and people being disenfranchised by churches and by leadership and by people, so-called Christians, and sometimes they don't behave the way that Christians are supposed to, and we see hypocritical acts. People act one way in church, and then the next thing you know, they're on the bar or something. And what in the world is going on? Is there anybody real? Is there anybody true? Is there anybody really serving God? And he said, what is this? And you said, I can't trust anybody. But in the face of all that, Jesus is our example, because people did more to Him than they've ever done to us, because they nailed Him to the cross and they cried out, crucify Him, crucify Him, crucify Him. And He looked down from the cross and He looked at them and He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He looked with eyes of mercy and with eyes of love. And so He says to you and I, as He has loved us, we are to love one another. God is love. His love is an everlasting love. If you love only those people that love you, anybody can do that. Even people that's not in church do that. Love people that love them. But the true measure of a child of God, what distinguishes you from the rest of the world, is when you have had an encounter with God, God gives you supernaturally a love that causes you to love everybody. Loving people that may not love you in return. Caring about people that may not care about you in return. Because Jesus said, if you love them that love you, what thank of you? He said, what's good is that? You're no different than the sinners. But He said, love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Bless and curse not. So a fresh baptism of love is what the church needs today. Oh God, if ever we needed anything this morning, God, baptize us with a fresh baptism of the love of God, that agape love that causes us to love, to come to the house of God and worship, that causes us to love people around us, that causes us to love the sinner and want to see them saved, that causes us to love them so much that we'll try to rescue them from their sin and be able to share our testimony with them of what Jesus can do for them. Love. Like the old song goes, give me that old-time religion. What does it do? That old-time religion makes you love everybody, doesn't it?
Thank you, Jesus.
Makes you love.
Thank you, Lord.
And when you've been through heartache and betrayal and deception and hypocrisy and wondering who to trust, you think to yourself at times, how is that possible? With man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
And that old-time religion, help me to go back and have a fresh encounter in Your presence, God, that baptizes me afresh with Your love and makes me love everybody. Amen. like you do, Lord. Help me to see through your eyes and love them the way you love them, Lord. Confronting your fears. So we want to have an encounter, genuine encounter with God. We want to have a fresh baptism of love to be able to confront our fears. And thirdly, transform our thinking. And I've been talking about this past few weeks, about transforming our thinking. We've got to transform our thinking. A couple of weeks ago, I ministered to you and I talked about, you know, the high cost of complaining. And I was talking primarily about positive mental attitude, or PMA. How we need to think differently. Transform our thinking. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." So let God transform our way, the way we think. And when we transform, we begin to think like Jesus, and we see potential in everybody. We love everybody. We realize that anything's possible. And we don't murmur and complain about what things we don't have and why things aren't a certain way, but instead we have a mind and attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving to God. Then what happens to us when our mind has been transformed and has been renewed by the power of God? It says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Sometimes people cannot find God's will and God's direction for life. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing because they haven't allowed their mind to be transformed yet.
Amen.
They're stuck in negativity. They're stuck in complaining and murmuring. They're stuck in doubt and confusion. But when we are renewed, when we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, then we shall what? Be able to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We'll have no doubt. We'll know the direction we're supposed to take. God gives us clear mind, clear direction.
Thank you.
Philippians 2 and 5. "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Proverbs 23 and 7. "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." How often people tell themselves, "I'm no good, I'm no account." I remember as a child, I was fed constant negativity. People were telling me, he's no good, he's no account, he'll never amount to anything, he'll be in jail by the time he's 16 years old. Stuff like that. I don't know if any of you will have any. Negative, just constant negativity fed as a child. But when I gave my heart to Jesus and I got in the Word of God, the Word of God began to transform my mind. I thought, wow, anything's possible. Jesus loved me. I couldn't believe it. He loved me and He wanted me and He cared about me. And the greatest revelation for me was that God loved me, that He really loved me, even though I'd been a sinner. Even though I was a sinner. God commendeth His love toward us, and yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And as we think in our hearts, so are we.
Thank you, Lord.
With God, all things are possible. It's endless, the potential. They that know their God shall be mighty and do exploits. Take the limits off. We're thinking about what we can do with our own ability. You know the number one criteria for being used of God, for God to use you, is weakness. The Apostle Paul revealed that to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 or chapter 12. He said, "My grace is sufficient." We besought the Lord three times to remove that thorn in his flesh and said, "Lord, if you just remove it, I can serve you a whole lot better." And the Lord finally spoke to him after he prayed three times about the problem. And the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness." And Paul goes on to say, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may be glorified. Weakness. It's not by our power, not by our might, but by His Spirit, saith the Lord. They that are led by His Spirit are the sons of God. He will lead us and guide us into all truth and righteousness. With God. Oh, let that sink in for a moment. With God. How many believe that God is with you? This one, let me see your hand. You believe He's with you? Do you believe He's on your side?
Amen.
So with God, you and God making a majority, with God, all things are possible. Let me hear you say that with me. With God, all things are possible.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Let's say it again. With God, all things are possible. And they say, psychiatrists or psychologists tell us that if we repeat something three times, it'll sink in and we'll believe it. So let's say it one more time, just for the secular society. With God, all things are possible.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Which means, you know what amen means? Let it be so. That finalizes, that settles it. That settles an issue. When in the scripture it says, amen. I mean, say amen to that this morning.
Amen.
Let it be so. That settles it. That's the issue. With God. Me and God make a majority. We're going to win.
Amen.
Because with God, all things are possible.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank God. Don't you feel it this morning?
Amen.
With God, all things are possible.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
With God. He's on your side. He's on our side. Thank God.
Yes,
finally.
Hallelujah.
How do we conquer our fears? How do we confront our fears? Confidence in God's Word. Confidence in God's Word. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Confidence in His Word. So many times He tells us in Scripture.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
121 times in Scripture He says, "Do not be afraid. Be not afraid."
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
131 times He says, "Do not fear."
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Sometimes it takes. You ever tell your kids something over and over and they keep doing the same thing? You tell them, don't do this, don't go there. And they still do it anyways. And it's like you got to keep telling them over and over again. Clean your room. And still, that bad habit. It's like with God's people, it's always fear. They're always afraid. What might go wrong? What might be bad? What might happen? And the Lord tells them here 251 times in Scripture, in various ways, don't be afraid. You don't have any reason to be afraid. None whatsoever. 250 times in all the Scripture He tells us that. In one place He said, be careful for nothing, which means if you look at the translation of that and you do an in-depth study on that passage of Scripture, that verse of Scripture, be careful for nothing. It says, it translates this way, don't worry about a single thing. Don't worry about a single thing. It's going to be okay. Jesus is with us. If Jesus is with us, hope is with us, life is with us, everything we need, all the blessings, all the provision, everything you and I need is with us if Jesus is with us. Strength and courage come from the choices we make more than the feelings we have. Strength and courage come from the choices we make more than the feelings we have. Let me expound on that a little bit. If we choose to do the next right thing, we may not feel good about something, but we know this is what God's Word says. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is the direction I'm supposed to take. Everybody else wants to go over here. Everybody else wants to do this thing here, but I know this is what God's Word says, and so I better stay right here. What God gives you confidence because He proves to you that His Word is true. A classic example, how many remember the story of Jairus and his daughter who died? For those of you that don't recall that story in the Bible, there was a man. He was a Pharisee. He was high up, a ruler of the synagogue. He was high up in the religious position in Israel at the time. And his little 12-year-old girl had just died, or she got very sick. And she later died, but he unknowing to him for a while. And so he comes to Jesus and asks Jesus to pray for his daughter. And on their way walking, Jesus agrees to come. And so as he's walking along with Jesus to his house for Jesus to pray for his little girl, a bunch of people come and said, "Don't trouble Jesus any further because your daughter's dead. It's too late. She's dead." Now, a lot of people would just went into a screaming fit and said, "That's it, it's over, and there's nothing I can do." But what did Jairus do? He'd been walking for a while with Jesus, and you know who Jesus is when He came here in flesh. The Word made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so Jairus had been walking with the Word. He'd been in fellowship with the Word. There's something about it when you've been living your life in fellowship with God's principles, with the Word of God. And so he goes walking, and as he'd been walking with the Word for a while, instead of becoming fearful, instead of just falling down on his face and giving up, what did Jairus do? He looked to see what the Word had to say. He looked to see what Jesus had to say. And what Jesus said to him was, "She's not dead. She's only asleep. She's not dead. She's only asleep." So Jairus said, "That's okay. And everybody else said, "No, she's dead. We shook her. We felt her see she was breathing. There was nothing. She's dead." Well, Jairus, he just kept on walking with the Word all the way to his house. And here are them people, "Man, you've lost your mind. She's dead. She's dead. Jesus is some fanatical, crazy, religious ruler. What are you following him for? I'm telling you, your daughter's dead." Jairus just keeps on walking with her, just steady, unmoved.
"Thank you, Jesus.
They shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that shall not rot." Right?
Amen.
When you've been walking with the Word, you're not moved by the circumstances around you. Everybody else might get excited and follow some fling over here. In the doctrine over there. But when you've been walking in the Word, you're secure, you're safe, you're brave, you're courageous, you're fearless. And so, he gets there and Jesus says, "Talikathuma," when he walks in where his little girl was. "Talikathuma," which means, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And miraculously, the breath of His words. He said, the words of spirit and life, the life of His words went into that little girl, raised her from the dead. And she was alive. Strength and courage come from the choices we make. I choose to follow God and His Word. Because His Word's right. More than the feelings we have. Another point is obedience precedes God's blessing. Obedience, what does God require of you? What does He ask of you? Obedience is important. God's blessings are His presence and His provision. His presence and His position, provision. Whatever you need comes from God. It's available there for you. He will provide for you. He will take care of you.